Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are back together in the Cleveland studio. How you doing, brother?
I am good, man. Good. Shout out to Ben Eves for sitting in my chair virtually. You know, he did a great job listening to the show. You know, loved it. Agreed on most points. You guys got to talking about the whiskey, and I was cursing you from afar. But before we do that, I won't recap the whole show. But what I will say, you know, something came up about Derek Chauvin's team asking for a transfer to a different venue.
Right.
And so that's state by state. Every state's different on how they handle it, like when you can appeal it. You know, some places it needs to be an immediate appeal, right? Like, so if you...
A pre-trial appeal.
So right.
Either you move like, it or you don't.
Right. And then others, you can appeal it after. And it all depends. And I don't know Minnesota what they're... how it works there. It's probably something, especially with it being in criminal court, that they would probably want appealed immediately. And so it's not going to be eligible for appeal after the fact, you know, like once a decision is made. But we can see, because there's some court law that says, you know, it can be appealed afterwards, because that isn't the end of the court proceedings. Right. Like, so, but each state is different. I don't know what sure. It says in Minnesota. So like you ask for the change of venue, you get denied. Some places say if you want to appeal it, you have to appeal it immediately. Other places say it could wait until after the trial. I'm just not sure what Minnesota's rule on that is. Now, usually, first of all, usually those are denied, right? Like the actual change appeal. Of venue is denied. The burden of a proof to show that, you know, the publicity is prejudicial is, I mean, it's a high bar, and it's virtually impossible to prove. You know, and the counter argument, you know, that you made and that would be made is, where is this not going to be that?
Right.
Now, I think, you know, depending on, and I'm sure his legal team, you know, I'm sure they've probably done some polling and have some data to say, you know, this county seems to be a little bit more sympathetic to his cause. It's more conservative, whatever. So if we can, this is where we want this to happen.
Similar to Simi Valley or the Rodney King case.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a hard burden to prove. And so, you know, a lot of times those get denied and their appeals get denied. So I don't think it's a huge issue. You know, like was stated on the show last time, you know, his legal team is doing, you know, everything they can to make the situation most favorable to him, you know, but ultimately, I don't think this is going to matter much, you know, where, I mean, I think even if he's found guilty and they appeal it on any number of issues that they may come up with at the time, like this, the fact that they didn't change the venue, you know, to another county is not going to be something that, you know, takes this case, you know, up to the next level in terms of appellate review.
Okay. Well, we said during the show, it'd be good to have Steve here for this. Now, a week later, we essentially have. So,
yay, I'm your soul.
So, something that we obviously have to talk about, because we talk about all the time on the show, is there were two shootings, one of them in Georgia and one of them in Colorado. The Colorado shooter was of...
You have Ohio on the board.
I do have Ohio on the
it's
board.
Weird.
Which is not Colorado.
No, it's not.
All right, thank you for pointing out my
shortcomings.
You're right.
It caught me off guard. Like, wait, what are we...
It caught me off guard, and I did it.
Because I didn't know about a shooting in Ohio. That's why I was a little confused. Okay. I mean, I'm sure there was one last night or today. Probably close to my office.
There's that. Actually, there was one of my friend's place restaurant in right on the Cleveland Lakewood border.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I wasn't talking about that one either. But right. Anyway, mass shootings are back in the news, which means government-instituted gun control is back in the news. We talk about guns and the Second Amendment all the time. I don't think, I think we're probably about 80% aligned. I've got no problem with certain things that other people do have problems with. I have no problem with registration. I had no problem with magazine restrictions until Andrew Cuomo decided, well, we had that, why don't we need to make it less? Which is exactly the slippery slope argument that I claimed would never happen. So that's one of the reasons I don't like Andrew Cuomo, and I've said that 500 times. Having said that, Joe Biden has said he will, or sorry, the White House has said that Joe Biden will put out an executive order related to gun control. I don't know what the details of that are. I do know that both logistically and politically, this is the worst idea I've heard in a long fucking time.
Well, going back to the shootings themselves, right? So the shooting in Georgia, I don't believe the suspect had a rifle, right? And a lot of this is around AR-15s and rifles.
Right.
Sporting, the American sporting rifle, if you will. A lot of this centers around that. Now, the shooting in Colorado, he did use an AR-15 style weapon.
Yep.
And that's where people really get hung up on. And it makes me angry on a lot of different levels. First of all, these shootings were, they're just terrible every time they happen, right?
Right.
And, but I think there's a couple different ways that we need to look at this, right? And I'm a firm, I have a firm stance on the Second Amendment, and I feel justified in that stance. But, you know, again, these are tragedies, and it rips me apart. I had a debate with one of our followers on Twitter about this, and it was, kudos to her. It was very cordial, and she's in Washington, and her children were involved in the shooting that happened in Tacoma a few years back. And again, my heart and sympathies go out to her, and I feel terrible for her children for having to go through that and experience it and then to deal with the trauma after. And it's trauma that they'll never not have, right? You only hope that they can deal with it and that it doesn't negatively impact them any more than it has. But that being said, when we focus our attention of gun control on AR-15 rifles and their assault rifles and, you know, they're so dangerous and people shouldn't have them, and we go down that argument, right? And a lot of people will come at me and say, you know, it's not a good rifle for hunting, and it's not a good, you know what?
That's true.
Yeah, you're right. It's not a good rifle. I don't have it to hunt. I don't have it to hunt, and I don't have it for close quarters combat in my home, right? I have it, one, as a political statement, to say I can. Second Amendment says I can. But from a real world thing, a real world perspective, the reality is the history in this country tells me that there's a chance where I could need it, right? Now, you're just like, oh, how, why? And if you look at the history of how generally angry white people treat black people when they get mad about, well, pick something, it doesn't always end great for the black guy, right? There's a history of violence that is well documented, right? From before the Civil War, during the Civil War, after the Civil War, Reconstruction.
Black Wall Street is Jim Crow.
Yeah, Black Wall Street and everything through the Civil Rights Movement, through the 70s, through the 80s, of, you know, just all-out assaults on black people, on families, on, you know, groups of black people living together, right? Now, will it happen now? Oh, we're more civilized and racism is dead and, you know, we had a black president. Okay, well, I've got Georgia that's instituting voting rights or restricting voting rights and trying to suppress voting rights and targeting black people when they do it. And you had a black congresswoman who at least wanted to be there when the bill was signed in Georgia and they carried her out in handcuffs. Right, very reminiscent of Jim Crow, right? And so now, at this point, you have states that are going backwards in the way that they treat black people and access to their constitutional God-given rights, and you're telling me that this is the time that I need to give up my weapon, right? And you're saying, well, you don't need that weapon. Who the hell are you to tell me what I need or what I don't need, right? Because you got a bunch of people who don't know shit about guns, and that's not everybody. There are some who actually know the differences very well, who are fighting for gun control. But for a majority, they don't. They don't know the history of the AR-15. They don't know where it comes from. They don't know anything about it. They've never shot one. They've never seen one in person, right? But those are the same people who know nothing about them that are just who are making these laws, you know, based off of general sentiment. And so part of my issue with this is, I will be more willing to have this conversation when we are actually talking about root causes of gun violence and we're looking at gun violence, because the majority of gun violence in this country happens in inner cities, in urban settings, in black and brown communities, right? That's where a majority of it happens. Sure. And a majority of it happens with handguns.
Yep.
Right? In 2019, you had 10,000 homicides via 10,000 gun homicides, right? 10,000 in 2019.
It was 10,000 or... I had 40 in my head for some reason.
No,
total gun deaths?
That was from 2020.
Okay.
I'm looking at like compiled numbers from 2019. Right?
Okay.
So compiled numbers from 2019, you had 10,000 gun deaths. Okay. Of those, 400 were from some type of rifle, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that it was an AR-15 style rifle. It could have been any, like, it just says rifles, right? So you have 400 of them, of the gun homicides in 2019. So there were 10,000 total, and of the 10,000, 400 were of a rifle, and even if they were all AR-15s, which they weren't, right, we're talking about 400 out of 10,000, right? So when you say we want gun safety and we want gun violence, but we want to target these specific rifles because they were used in these mass shootings, and then you look at the mass shootings, right, and you look at, you know, what happened down in Florida, and what in Sandy Hook, and in Colorado, and you know, these other situations, they're all brutal and they're Aurora, all terrible in Aurora, Colorado. But what do they all have in common?
Crazy, right? People?
No. But if you look at besides the AR-15, you have where they are, right? They're in, you know, suburban areas that are mostly white. And they're like, oh, we're diverse. Like, yeah, you're diverse because you have, you know, 7 black kids in your school or whatever it might be. But the reality is they're predominantly white communities, right? So what happens is you have basically what you're saying is you've got your soccer moms, right? And you have these suburban communities that are scared of the people in their communities. They're scared of the radicalized, you know, white supremacist guy or the crazy white guy to come out with a gun and start shooting people, like what happened down in Georgia. The kid in Colorado, he was of a Muslim religion. He had a Muslim Syrian name. He was Syrian. But I don't, like, you know, Syrian is, you know, American Syrian is kind of a weird mix, because there's sometimes that they're considered white, sometimes they're considered Middle Eastern. And so once you start to get into that, it kind of gets down to what, you know, it all depends on, I guess, what's happening. But a lot of this gun control is about making people in these suburban affluent communities feel more comfortable and feel safer, right? They're just like, get AR-15s off the street and we're good. Because if you get rid of those, then we're comfortable. But what is that not addressing? It's not addressing the actual gun violence that's decimating people who look like me in lower income, urban, poor communities that are caught in this drug war. That they've, you know, you've got kids who were born into this shit. This shit started 30, 40 years ago. They have nothing to do with this. And they live in a war zone. These kids, like, I mean, like, metal detectors have been in schools in the hood since the 90s, since before Columbine. You know, and it was a big debate at the high school that I went to if they were going to put them in. And they ended up not, because, you know, we were a Catholic school and college prep and all that stuff. But we lived on the north side, or my school was on the north side of Youngstown, and we were surrounded, like, our school is kind of in the hood, right? I mean, it's been developed now over time, but when we were there, there was easy, I could walk down the street on my way to school and see a snub-nosed 38 with the tape handle just thrown in the yard somewhere.
Which you actually did.
Right, which I actually did on more than one occasion, right? Drive-bys happened on my street on more than one occasion. Like we know people that were killed. We know people that killed or shot people. Like, we were surrounded with it, and I was insulated to a degree, but that's what I grew up with. It's one of the big reasons why I didn't go to Youngstown State. I mean, Jim Tressel recruited me hard, and listen, it was a great sell. He had those rings on, and click, 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 click. It was a hard thing to tell him no, but I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. You know, there was a great YSU linebacker who won a national championship with Youngstown State and YSU, and he was killed in his front lawn, you know, at a 4th of July party, right? And I remember it clear as day
the story. It's been a while.
It was a long time ago. It was a long, I mean, this was mid,
10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, this is longer than that, probably close to 30 years ago. It was in the mid-90s. But, you know, like, that's what I grew up with, and like I said, I was insulated from it to a degree, but there are other places that it's a lot worse. These kids see a lot worse every day, and that's not what we're addressing, right? When these people are saying gun violence, they're talking about the random instances that happen that make them really nervous. Oh, he had an AR-15. That's what we got to stop. So you want to stop this thing that happens a fraction of the time, a small percentage of the time. That's the thing you want to focus on, right? Meanwhile, you got kids that are dying, every innocent kids walking on the way to school, catching a stray bullet while they lay in bed, sitting on their porch and they catch a stray bullet. That, nothing, right? It's just like, oh, well, what about Chicago? And, you know, black people are going to do what they're going to do. They're criminals anyway. That shit we don't care about. But the shit that happens off in the suburbs, you know, once or twice a year.
Once or twice a year, though.
In terms of these situations, no, it's not.
It's twice in a week.
Right. Well, yeah. It wasn't. It was once with an AR-15, and it was once with with the pistol who walked in and shot people. And that guy was just a whole nother mess of a situation, right? With his sex addiction and his religion. And
I don't want to commit sin, so I'm going to go around and kill people.
Right. So I'm going to go around and murder people. Like,
that's the second worst legal defense I've ever heard. We'll get to the worst one in a minute.
Right. I mean, so to me, that's my frustration. Like, if you want to have a conversation about gun control and gun violence, then let's have it. Then let's get to the root causes of this shit, right? Let's get to the root causes of where it's at its worst, right? And start to stem that. And I'm not saying that you ignore what's going on in the suburbs with the random mass shootings. Like, those are terrible and they're awful. But to me, if you go down this road where okay, fine, we take AR-15s away, that's great. Now, it feels like, okay, so now what are you going to do about the other 9,600 deaths that happened? Those we don't care about? Those are handguns, right? I mean, and also, what is this legislation going to do about that violence, right? That's the thing. And what's this legislation do? Even if you pass this legislation and you say, okay, you can't buy any more, right? Now you're talking about a long-term effect, because you still, we've got more guns than we have people in this fucking country, right? So, you know, so now you're saying, like, all right, so not only are we going to ban them, are you saying you're going to come in people's houses and take them? Right? Because they can, because look, every time you go out and buy one, right, unless you buy it from another person, there's a record of it. The ATF can come in at any time. So we're saying we're going to now allow police and the state to come in and kick in people's doors to look for this specific type of gun. And what else are they looking for? What else are they doing? Like, we're not concerned about that in terms of a slippery slope?
I mean, again, I hate Andrew Cuomo because I used to call the slippery slope argument bullshit, and then that happened in New York. I completely understand what you're saying. I don't disagree. I want to put one kind of esoteric thought out there. When people who don't know about guns start talking about gun control and they use the expression, no one needs a gun that powerful, in the grand scheme, an AR-15 is not a particularly powerful round. I mean, it's a cartridge designed to kill people in war. That's where the 223 was, built around. But my deer rifle is a bigger bullet going the same speed with a bigger hole put through you. So if I'm about power, the AR-15 should not be your target. Now, I'm not saying that what I just said is a logical argument for keeping AR-15s. I'm saying people who don't know about guns, stop using that argument, because you make people like me cringe and just go, you clearly don't know what you're talking about. The one thing that I get shit from my Second Amendment friends, you among them, is I don't have a problem with magazine capacity restrictions until it gets stupid. New York got stupid. I don't need a 30-round magazine. I can't imagine being in a situation where I would ever use that. I'm not trained enough to, and the reason I stick to this is because there have been multiple mass shootings where the killer was detained while changing magazines. So lives would have been saved at Sandy Hook. Lives were saved when Gabby Giffords got shot. And I can see the logic of that. Now, what I'm doing is literally, putting a finger in the hole in the dam when water's gushing over the top. So I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all, solve the problem. In fact, it's, if I'm being completely honest, a token gesture. But I It's a token gesture I don't have a problem with. I have a huge problem with Biden saying, I'm going to do this by executive order, though.
Well, and here's the thing. I also don't trust the government. I just do not trust the government. I don't trust the police. I don't trust whoever you're going to put in charge of enforcing this, right? Like, one, how are you going to enforce it? And if you say you're going to use police, sheriffs, whatever, they aren't going to start in the suburbs. That's not what they're going to do, right? They're not going to start there, right? What's going to happen is you're going to have places like Chicago and Cleveland, and you're going to have the local PD, you know, and their vice teams and their gang task force, and then they're going to team up with the ATF and the DEA, and they're going to create this big task force, and they're going to use this new law that you institute to go in and kick in every fucking door in the hood. And they're going to use it, and they're going to go under the guise of, well, you know, we got a report that this person was, you know, sure, crazy, suspicion, or whatever, suspicious that they, and someone in the house reported that there was a gun. So based off of what you're telling me, we're going to, and if you don't think, based off of how they executed this drug war that has been such a success,
I was going to say
that they aren't going to do the same fucking thing when it comes to guns, and it's not going to, and it's going to lead, and it's going to be this smooth thing where, you know, a lot of people who look like me aren't going to lose their lives, not go to jail. They're going to lose their lives over this. If you do this, I'm sorry, I have a very severe problem with this, because it's not going to be handed out evenly. They're not going to come to your house.
Well, I would say that this is another reason why we can legalize pot now, because we found a new reason to kick in doors in the hood, so we don't need to say we smelled marijuana.
Well, I mean, and that's, and what's,
that's
what's
half
crazy,
joke, that's half, that's joke and half serious.
And it's not that far off. You know, I mean, once you say, you don't, like, now you have this, right? Like, and we're giving you basically free rein to run in and kick in doors based off of, you know, whatever the criteria is. I don't like it. And listen, I'm more than willing to have a conversation about gun safety and dealing with the issues. But if we're talking about it, we need to look at it globally. We can't pick and choose what we want based off of, because it makes these people really uncomfortable, so we need to address them first. Like, you got people fucking dying every day, a lot of them, right? And it's not because of AR-15s. It's because of a lot of other guns that are being out there. Like, you got to deal with, there's a lot of illegal guns out there, right? Like, sure. So you need to deal with those particular issues, and the fact that you've got a lot of criminals who don't give a fuck about laws. That's the name, criminals, right? Like, I mean, those are like lots of, so that means you're going to have to get to root causes, right? Like, you're worried about the tool, right? But you got to get to root causes, and the root causes, especially with the issues with the gun violence, especially in these areas that I'm most concerned about, which I think is fair because of the number of lives that are lost every day, every week, every month, every year, year over year over year. And we saw it, like, the crime numbers exploded because of COVID, because you had people who didn't have jobs. You had people that, you know, with mental health issues who weren't dealing with them. You had all these sort of things that festered and created this really bad situation for crime and violence and anger and everything else. And the numbers exploded, right? So you have to deal with the root causes, right? Because if you take away the tools, they'll find another tool, and you're still going to have really bad consequences and outcomes. So we have to start to deal with those things. And if you say, well, we need to do something, so let's do this thing first, I'm saying, no, that's how we do shit all the time, and yet it doesn't fix anything.
If I could ever come up with a logical solution, like the which is an undeniable, well-proven fact, there are more guns than people in this country. And they're there, and they're not going away for decades or centuries, because a well-made gun lasts. There's a 70-some-year-old gun on the wall in our studio, never used, and that was an assault rifle in its day. But I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the legal aspects of it, but I will say that if I ever come up with a, hey, if we did this, this would make the country a safer, better place, I'd speak it. I don't know what the answer is.
I mean, look, and it's hard and it's complicated. My concern is people are more than willing to give up X freedom, right? Because it's not just a Second Amendment issue, right? Now, with some of the way these bills are constructed, we're talking about privacy issues. We're talking about illegal searches. We're talking about due process. Those things matter. Those are the things that our country was built on. And there's a reason that the Second Amendment was first. And there are people out there making the argument, well, you know, screw the founding fathers. They were racist. They had slaves, and they built this country, and maybe we shouldn't be listening to them. Maybe we should rebuild it. Oh, listen, we've been down this road before, and this is what I'll tell you, and I will say it again until I am fucking blue in the face, which is hard because I'm black. But here's the deal. You want to dramatically change this country. There are a lot of people who have a lot of stake in that not happening, right? And they are proving more and more that they are willing to fight against the change that you want, right? Like, so if you really want to do this, if you really want to put down an executive order, or do you want to go into people's houses and you want to take their guns or whatever you want to do, right? Because everyone says, we don't want to take your guns. But then, like, literally with the Biden administration, there are multiple people saying, you know, and people in Congress introducing bills that literally have things where they're going in and taking people's guns, right? Like, I mean, it's right there written. So if you're going to do that, then you're going to have people who are openly saying, I will not comply and I am prepared to fight. And a lot of people say, well, screw that. The police have all the guns. And they're like, that's a stupid fight. It may be a stupid fight, but there are people out there who are willing to fight it, right? And I think it's more than you think. And if you're not ready for that, if you're not prepared for that, or if you're okay with that, then if you're okay with it, then okay, fine. If you're not, then you better think of a better way to deal with this than we're just going to go in and take them because this is we're in charge now and we feel that this is the right thing to do.
You know, to build on my half joke earlier, if the police are kicking in your door because they smell weed, justifying lethal force is a lot harder than kicking in your door because we believe you have guns and therefore we have a reason to believe our lives are in danger. Right,
which is why I'm saying people are going to die. It's going to be worse than the drug war. Now it's a gun war, right? Which, like, that's, you know, I mean, and you could say that I'm crazy, and you could say, well, it's for the greater good. Just get rid of them. You don't need it. It's more than that, kids. It's more than that. I'm literally, like, you got to look at the big picture here and what you're giving up for this, just so that you can feel safer in the suburbs. Okay, but our government has proven that they're not always the most reliable and they don't always do the best thing for all the citizens, right? Equally across the board. It's been an issue for a long time in this country, and you're giving the government carte blanche to basically turn on its citizenry, right? And you're taking away any defense. And you can sit there and say, well, the Army has missiles. Well, the Army can't operate here, right? Like, they're not supposed to, right? And then if we're talking about federal agencies, yeah, they've got big guns too, but here's the deal, right? Like, do we really want shootouts in neighborhoods? No, we don't, right? Like, so we really need to figure out a better way to deal with this. Like, even if it's taxing the shit out of ammunition, taxing the shit out of guns, okay, I don't like that either. I like people having access to it because I think it's a good neutralizer. But at some point in time, you're probably going to have to give up the fight. So fine, just go ahead and tax the shit out of them and make it to a point where people can't afford them. But the problem there is you're going to have a black market, right? And no matter what you do with this, you're going to have a black market. But that, to me, is more sensible, finding out a way to make the guns more scarce, right? Using the market, using capitalism to try to quell this, as opposed to the government coming in and just saying, you can't have it and we're taking it. Because that, like, I don't think that goes as easily as people who know nothing about guns or people who know nothing about the gun community. It doesn't go well, right? Even if the government ends up winning, at what cost? At how much bloodshed?
So first of all, I want to say I've never called you crazy because of that. I didn't say I'm called crazy, just not because of that.
You call me crazy all the time.
Not because of that. Politically speaking, for Biden, if he does anything with an executive order to impact gun owners at all, I would consider that to be one of the dumbest political moves I have ever seen in my life. He will be gutting his party. Like, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you said if Democrats would just leave this issue alone and focus on things that they are supported on, they'd be much better off, but they keep poking the bear, for lack of a better word. It's political disaster. And I don't know what can you do that isn't what you're describing. And what you're describing is awful. What's happening is also awful, but there is no Band-Aid for this whole thing. So
I mean, something's got
root cause is the way to go. And if that is...
And here's another thing too. I put a lot of the blame on the NRA and the 2A community, right? Specifically, because one part of it is because they're not going about this the right way, right? Sometimes a Colleen Noir or a Kevin Dixie or some of your other
Dana Loesch, who's the other
guy? No, not Dana Loesch, but some of your other black 2A amendment.
She's not that.
She's really hot, though, which is she really is annoying. Not. But a lot of your black 2A supporters, they will glance over the fact that they will talk about what I talked about in terms of root cause. I think that is super critical, and I think that is where the 2A community is really fucking up and not going after that more. They're just saying, we're not giving up our guns, fuck the rest of it, right? What they need to be saying is they are the ones who need to be, like, the NRA would never do it, but the NRA, these gun lobby, they need to be looking at the root causes of gun violence in the hood. They need to be promoting education, opportunity, job training, all that shit in the hood, because that reduces gun violence, right? And then say, look, we want to put forth these efforts to solve the problems that are causing the gun violence that are putting us at risk. They need to be promoting mental health, right? Like, for every pamphlet that they hand out, there needs to be a smattering of things about how to get mental help. If you're angry, if you've got issues, whatever, they need to be talking to gun store owners about, you know, identifying people who come in that seem agitated and being able to look and use, because gun shops, right, licensed gun shops, they have discretion, right? They don't have to sell you a gun. If you come in and you look like, if I go blazing into a gun shop and I look like a fucking psychopath, they can look at me and say, yeah, we're not selling you a gun. We're not doing it. We don't give a fuck about a background check. You look sketchy as hell. We're not selling you a gun. And they've done that for years. Now, usually they do it in a very discriminatory manner. That's not fair and whatever. But in terms of, that's where the gun community needs to be in terms of, like, look, we want, like, listen, if we want to keep this, right, like, in school, like, hey, you guys want to keep going to recess, then we need to do our shit in the classroom so the teacher lets us go out and play. You want to keep your guns, then you need to be doing everything you can and promoting everything you can to help reduce the shit that makes people want to go and take them from you. And the gun community isn't doing that, right, in anywhere enough of a form, of a format or in a way or in a method that makes it something that where you can get behind it and say, all right, let's push this forward.
I almost think, Steve, we should do an entire show dedicated to this and bring Ben from My Whiskey Den in on that, because he's a hardcore 2A guy, but he's also a logical guy.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think we should bring...
We've already gone 30 minutes
well,
on this.
Well, yeah, and I think we should bring Kevin Dixie back. You know, I doubt Colin Noir would never do our show. He's very big on making sure that he doesn't...
I'm fine with Kevin Dixie coming back. All I'm going to say is last time I bit my tongue a lot when he misrepresented what I said. Those gloves will be off if he comes back on.
Okay, and that's fine. He's a big boy; he can handle it. Okay. You know, I've gone toe to toe with him on social media on various things, and you know, I have a very strong stance on. Look, I can disagree with you politically. I can disagree with you on different things, but you know. 99.9% of the time, that doesn't mean that I'm completely disregarding you. We can have multiple conversations and disagree. You know that as well as anybody.
Our show wouldn't exist.
Right. So, I mean, so that's my thought on the gun issue. You know, when we start to talk about root causes, I'll be more than willing to have conversations about giving up certain types of guns or whatever. But until we as a nation really take the overall problem seriously and legitimately and start to address it, then I'm going to be pretty firm on my stance. I'm not giving up shit. And if they pass something, then I lost all my guns in a boating accident.
One question for you, though. If there was a national waiting period of, say, 3 days between purchase and taking ownership of a gun, would that bother you? I'll even put an exception that women who have just filed for restraining orders or people who have just filed for restraining orders can get an exemption. But just in general, you purchase a gun on Tuesday, you can't physically take ownership of it until Friday. That would stop the, I don't know what the percentages are, but I do think the Georgia shooter bought the gun that he used the day he used it.
I mean,
would that be reasonable?
So let me, you know why that actually doesn't bother me? Mostly because I have to wait no matter what, right? Like, I got a fucking
record.
Because
you got a common name. Oh, that's right.
I was
going to rat you on that. Right. Right,
I mean, I do. I have a record. I've been arrested for a couple things. You know, some street fights that went awry where I was the last man standing when this police.
Here comes the humble brag.
When the police showed up. I mean, fuck it. It's not a humble brag. It is what it is. I mean,
it can be truthful and a humble.
Right. I mean, there could be two things true at once. And I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, fight broke out, and I was the last guy standing, and the police showed up. It's like, all right, well, I mean, yeah, I did it. I can't say I didn't, considering I'm holding this guy up by the neck. So,
like Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte in 48 hours. What's going on here? Nothing.
We're just friends. You know, I mean, like, so, you know, with the mandatory three-day waiting period, that doesn't bother me, as long as, I mean, if it gives the ATF time to do their thing and do a deep dive in the background, like, I'm fine with that. I don't know if it solves as many problems as we think it does, because the reality is, like, you know, even if a person waits, if you get a person who's fucking crazy enough, man, like... I'm more than open to it. Fine. You know, if you want to say 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, as long as it's not so prejudicial to the point where, you know, I mean, it's just keeping it out of people's hands, because there's legitimate causes to say, look, for home defense, maybe I don't need an AR-15, but if I want a handgun, or if I want a shotgun, you know, if I want to spend $2,500 on a Benelli M4, because I was just looking at them, and goddamn, $2,500 for that gun is ridiculous, then they should be able to do that if they feel that that's what they need for the safety in their home. And there are a lot of people, well, if you feel that you need that, then I feel sorry for you. Well, then feel sorry for me, because there's enough evidence to say that, look, man, you never know what might happen, and there's plenty of crazy people out there. So I want to have every protective measure that I can.
Sure.
So I'm okay with a waiting period. You know, once, you know, I mean, the gun registration thing, I think, you know, for some of these people saying they don't want a gun registration, again, if you buy from a legitimate gun dealer, right, a licensed dealer, you are submitting to a background check with the ATF. Now, people get upset because it happens so fast. Look, it doesn't take that long to do a criminal background check, right? It just doesn't, right? I mean, like I know this is crazy, but they've got this thing called the internet, and it sometimes moves really fast. So they if it's been reported, right, and it's been recorded properly, then it doesn't take that long, you know, for the shit to come up. Now, where things get a little bit mixed up and complicated is where not every local jurisdiction, you know, sends things up the pipe the way they should. But that's not the ATF's fault who's doing their background check. If I have something, right, if I have a domestic violence case in Lorain County, and Lorain County doesn't do what they're supposed to do in terms of running that up, you know, and getting it to where it needs to be, to where the ATF can find it, right? And then that's not the ATF's fault, right? Like, that's on Lorain County. So local governments have a part to play in this, to make sure that the information gets to where it needs to get to. Right, so that the ATF, when they're running those background checks, have all the information to make a valid decision. Right now, for me, clearly everybody has reported everything that I've done, because, you know, my background checks take a little longer than 10 minutes, usually a couple days, which it is what it is. And that may, you know, if everything stays the same, that may...
Don't beat people up in Miami to have your gun faster, Steve. All right, seriously, we should have a separate show dedicated to this.
Yeah, we can do it, and we'll move on.
Someone else. I want to bitch about Biden, but one more thing, and then I can't wait to get to the...
Can we have a section going forward called Bitch About Biden?
I think it will happen organically, but he said today, or it was reported on CNN today, that he said he's going to run again in 2024. Joe, you're barely holding it together now. And the one thing... All right, so I was on the fence, but I jumped on the Biden bandwagon pretty quick and pretty hard. And one of the things I liked the most was... He claimed he was going to come in as a lame duck president. He claimed he was coming in, run for one term, hand the reins over, but try to get the country righted. And that should have given him so much political freedom to say, fuck you to the establishment. So many times presidents get into power and they know that the first thing they have to do is try to win again in 4 years. If you come going, I'm out, bitches... Then you get your lame duck term to start, and not to be ageist, but you're 78, and the right wing talking point on you is that you are a controlled puppet whose mind is gone. That's bullshit, but
But once you get to 82, 83, it's like...
And he still does say a lot of wacky shit and look a little awful, and he tripped on the stairs, and the right wing loved that. And I won't bitch about that, because when Trump stumbled on the thing, I was a dick about it.
I thought it was...
They're both funny.
I thought Biden tripping up the stairs was funny. I thought Trump, you know, stumbling down the ramp was funny. It happens. I mean, Obama tripped.
Gerald Ford bashed his head on the top of an airplane.
Bush threw up in the fucking Japanese prime minister's lap. He vomited in the man's lap. What?
He did.
So, I mean...
That was not on my mind, but I remember...
But, I mean, it's just like, look...
I remember Saturday Night's kid about
yeah,
that.
I mean, so look... Funny. If you, like, look, you live your life in the spotlight where every time you walk outside, people are following you with the camera. Guess what? Like, how many times have you tripped? Right? I mean, like...
Yesterday, I took a bike ride, and getting on my bike, I literally tried to hop over it, over the seat, stumbled, and it fell sideways. I stayed on my feet. However, had there been a camera on that, I would not have looked like the most graceful guy.
And look, I have tripped many times. And I'm pretty light on my feet, and I won't call myself graceful, but I mean, look, I mean, I was running back for a reason.
Also, you're extremely athletic. Light on your feet?
Hey, we go toe-to-toe. Anyway.
In the middle of a
set. It happens. Like, people trip, and where I don't like the attention that the right wing is putting on this. If you want to make fun of it, fine. You want to do skits about it, fine. You know, saying that, well, it's a sign that he's... You know,
dementia.
Right. Bullshit. No, I mean, I didn't like how, you know, how people went after Trump and said, oh, he tripped down the ramp. So he obviously we need to invoke the 25th Amendment.
Right.
It's just like, well, you know, because someone on Twitter was just like, well, did you see how he was drinking water? Between the way he drinks water and the fact that he tripped down the stairs, he's clearly mentally incompetent. Like, get the fuck out of here. Right. Like, the dude is weird. So he drinks water weird. I'm not invoking the 25th Amendment because the president has got some weird shit going on, right, with the way that he drinks. It's fucking bizarre. You doing it right now doesn't make it any less or more bizarre.
I'm drinking out of my Manhattan in my most awkward Trump/Gollum fashion. Right. Tried to fuck with Steve, but he powered through. Well,
and you know, like those, like, I'm sorry, that's not what the 25th Amendment was for. I mean, you had Woodrow Wilson and his wife was running the country because he was in a fucking coma. We had Franklin Delano Roosevelt lying about being in a wheelchair for all that time. I mean... Like, there are legitimate reasons to say we need to remove a president from office. Because they trip going upstairs or running down a ramp or whatever is not one of them. I'm sorry.
Agreed. Okay, I can't hold out any longer because my girl, Sidney Powell, has been sued for $1.3 billion by Dominion. And her defense is essentially, in layman's terms... The bullshit I was spewing was so clearly bullshit that no reasonable person could have taken it seriously. Therefore, I can't be liable. I can't be accused of libel because, or I guess slander, because it was so dumb. Only an absolute moron would
reasonable person would believe it. It's in the brief, right?
What is the sense
that she submitted, right? And she's got a couple issues, right? Like. You're admitting that you were lying.
Right. Which is aspect one of a slander case, right? Right.
So you're saying that you were intentionally not telling the truth, right? You were intentionally, and so your defense is, well, you know, I mean, it's so crazy. It's political theater. I mean, come on, let's just get past it. And that's not how this works. It's an interesting defense. It is not going to work. And she's got serious issues. Now, Will this move to settlement? I don't know. I think Dominion.
I don't think Dominion gives a shit.
I think Dominion is out for blood. I think that they want to break her. I don't think they care about a settlement. What's the point? She don't got $1.3 billion. She doesn't have anything remotely close.
No, they need to win in court and
they
make it
want
official.
Right. They want it on paper that you know that you are you know were proven you know to have done X. Same with their suit against Fox News. Fox News has a hell of a problem with that between everybody that was on their network. Fox News is going to say, hey, you know, those people were opinion, you know, like their opinions don't represent how Fox feels. And Fox News may be able to get out of it, but the individuals, whether it's a Sean Hannity or a Laura Ingraham,
Mike Lindell,
or all those different people, like they may have a serious issue, you know, I mean... and like I said, I don't think that Dominion is actually going to be interested in settling. I think they're out for blood. So, I mean...
Well, I think they're out to restore their reputation, and they're saying, you know, if we settle, then we are
right. No, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Much like more to gain by fighting than by winning the lawsuit.
Right, and so I mean, it's they got themselves into a bind here, and I think that this defense was not. This is not what you want to do. I think by going in and saying, I mean, listen, there were claims that she had evidence, right? All this stuff. So now the reality is, if your defense is, I was lying, no reasonable person should believe me, and then it's just like, all right, well, we're moving forward with the trial, and now you don't have evidence, and anything that you present is going to be brought into question.
Sure.
Right?
Like, aren't there two elements to it? Like, intent and proven dishonesty. So you're basically, by doing this defense, you're basically saying, I intended to slander them, and I knew I was full of shit.
Yes. I mean, like, you're handing it to them on a platter. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, you hand it to them on a platter, so now you backed yourself into a fucking corner, right? And I really don't know how you get out of it, and I'm not even going to say good luck, because fuck off.
There's that. All right, Sydney. Thanks for the entertainment. Virginia has abolished the death penalty. The only Old South state to do that.
Yeah.
I'm anti-death penalty. I've said that many times on the show. I'm glad to hear it now.
You're consistent there.
I try to be. I
mean, between your stance on abortion and
unnecessary wars and the death penalty, right, yeah, I try.
You're consistent. So, you know, I mean, I think this is, look, it's good. You know, I mean, and Virginia had a really ugly history with the death penalty in terms of the number of people that they put to the death penalty, and then obviously the disparate impact in terms of who they were killing, you know, as it relates to race. Like, this was an important move for them. I mean, the state of Virginia is it's a blue state, right? I mean, kind of purple, definitely leaning blue. You know, I mean,
recently.
Very recently.
Didn't they just legalize recreational weed? I think they did.
I believe, I don't know if they legalized it. I don't know.
I think they legalized recreational weed, but of course it takes 2 years to get their shit together.
But I mean, I think it's a good move. It signifies a lot, and they even acknowledge the history, especially, you know, post Civil War, you know, leading through and even after the Civil Rights Movement. So I mean, those are important things, and those are some of the things that, you know, they seem minor. Even though it's major, especially if you're, you know, on death row.
Yeah.
But I mean, those are the ways you start to kind of correct some of the ills of the past, as we talk about equity and fairness and things like that. Like that's important. You know, it's overshined by a lot of other things going on right now. But I will give Virginia kudos on making this move. You know, Virginia's going the opposite direction of Georgia. You know, we talked about it a little bit. You know, Georgia put out, you know, a 95-page, you know, bill that is suppressing, you know, is suppressing voters' ability to go out and vote, and it's specifically targeted at black voters. You know, I mean, they use a very general, nondescript language, but you know who it's targeted towards. In some of the you know, access that they gave their state legislature and control that they gave them is really, really scary. It's not democracy. And so the state of Georgia is going the wrong direction. Virginia is going the right direction, and again, in terms of equity and in some ways fairness, but Virginia's got their own issues. But what's happening in Georgia, or what happened in Georgia, is just it's just devastating. And a lot of this is on the Supreme Court and the gutting of the Voting Rights Act, allowing for these sort of things to happen. And, you know, Georgia's not going to be the last state when it comes to voting rights. There are other states who have these things who, you know, are putting these bills through. And it's a scary time. And that's why, you know, you can't look at me and say right now with what these states are doing, you know, and there's rumbling, you know, Ohio is, it's not as bad, but there's rumblings that they want to get on the bandwagon as well with some of this stuff. And look, I see that, and it makes me nervous. Like, that's going the wrong direction, right? Like, so
you're talking about voter suppression, not
right. Voter suppression. Yeah. So I mean,
we've had that in Ohio already. I mean,
yes, I mean, and
we fought against it and did a good thing. And you're right. Now the pushback is, well, Ohio's
a red state.
Yeah, it is, actually.
And it's, I mean, it has been for a little bit now. And listen, there's a loud group that want to get in line with the southern states in the state of Ohio, and that sort of shit makes me nervous, right? Because you, on the one hand, you're saying let's roll back gun rights, and on the other, and then you've got, you know, Democrats saying let's roll back your gun rights, let's take away this, let's go in your home for that. Then you're saying, you know, we want to impact people's ability to vote, specifically you people. We want to impact your ability to vote so that we get, you know, things going the right way. And it's just like, look, none of this feels good to me. Right? Like none of this, all of this feels like it's going to negatively impact me specifically as a black person. Now, look, where I live, fortunately for me, like I live in a suburb, it's predominantly white. So a lot of this stuff won't affect me. There's plenty of places to vote and go to the BMV and get ID and all that sort of stuff. But for other people who look like me, that's not what it is. So I can't ignore it just because I'm not in that particular group. And so, you know, we got to call it out.
And I give credit to Virginia for going progressive. I, now that I think about it, I'm sure that they legalized or passed a bill to legalize recreational weed, which is very progressive. The opposite, and then obviously the death penalty ban, very progressive. The opposite of progressive is going on in nearby Tennessee, where they now want to make the Bible the official state book. Tennessee's a weird state.
Yep.
It's way more southern. I mean, I know I can look at a map. But the old school Southern mentality in Tennessee is, at least the time I spent in Memphis, which I understand is 10 minutes from the Mississippi border, it might as well be Mississippi, and this is a total Mississippi move. I mean, if you are a constitutionalist and you're going to claim whatever, and you don't have a problem with making a religious book a state's official book, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, yep. Which is not uncommon.
Right.
But... But if you can't acknowledge that, then you probably can't acknowledge that a golden statue of Trump is a false idol.
Right.
Snuck that in there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, but it's, those are legitimate points. And I mean, look, we have a separation of church and state. We don't have an official religion. You practice whatever you want. Me practicing a different religion than you doesn't infringe on your religious rights.
Right.
Which a lot of the, you know, a lot of religious people, that's the argument they make. Well, the gays, you know, being around gay people infringes on my religious right, which is just a shit argument. So this, again, going backwards, this is, you know, this isn't even going backwards because this is not like we've had separation from church and state from the beginning, right?
No, I
like,
think so going backwards though, I think to officially say we're no longer even acknowledging that that's the right thing is.
Right. I mean, and you can't sit there in Tennessee and sit there and say, you know, Second Amendment, we got to abide by the Constitution, like you said, but we want to make the Bible our state book. It's just like, so how do we feel about this Constitution again?
Right.
You know, but like, I mean,
hypocrisy is.
Yeah. I mean, again,
the language of the land.
Lack of common sense and hypocrisy are just, you know, seem to be the jazz right now.
Now, if that, the one good thing that could come of that is if the state of Tennessee does do that, I would bet big money it ends up in the Supreme Court, and I would bet less but a substantial amount of money that it's a 9-0 fuck off Tennessee.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of 9-0s. We had an 8-1 recently.
Right.
But I think if you try to put this in front of the Supreme Court, they're going to look at it and go, okay, First Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Right. Like, and it's over. So, North Korea?
Yeah. North Korea is starting to flex its muscle again, whatever it has. And I didn't take it as seriously until I thought about it a bit more. So North Korea's been putting some missiles into the air directed at Japan and, you know, rattling its saber. I think one thing I credited Trump with and ultimately backed off on was I thought that talking to North Korea, talking to Kim Jong-un was a good thing. And I still think that it's a good thing. How it was handled, we've discussed enough. But their desire to stay relevant and to stay to influence the world has been diminished since Trump lost. And they have now resumed firing missiles, and they're firing missiles towards Japan without officially threatening them. Now, we as a country are responsible for the defense of Japan. We are responsible for the defense of our territory, Guam, both which are in fairly quick striking range from North Korea, and the Olympics are about to happen. And that makes me really nervous in a Team America World Police fashion. Like, if North Korea wants to do something to show the world, you better take us seriously. Putting that international spotlight within their missile range scares the fuck out of me, considering I think Kim Jong-un is, one, crazy, two, suffering from some serious health things, and three, literally has a god complex because he believes he was a god at birth.
So, yeah, all of that, I agree to an extent. I don't think he's crazy enough to do something like, terroristic during the Olympics. Only because because the Olympics are in China, right?
No, Japan.
Or Japan. I'm sorry. No. I meant Japan. I'm sorry.
That's right.
So they're in Japan with everyone in the world who is going to be there, right? So you do something at the Olympics, right, or anywhere near the Olympics, and it's we identify it as you, like, then you have now drawn the ire of the world.
And I think,
I think there are some instances where China may stand by them. I do not think this would be one of those instances.
I agree.
And so I as crazy as he is, I just don't know if he would be that fucking crazy to try to pull something off. Even if it was just an aggressive threat, I don't think that he would be. I think that he can read the tea leaves enough to say, no, we're not going to do that.
My concern is that his health is so bad and that he wants to go out with a blaze of glory. And I know that sounds insane.
But he's insane.
And I think he thinks, I've got 3 weeks left on this planet, and my last 3 weeks can end in 2 weeks when the whole world nukes me, but I've just blown up Tokyo. It's a nightmare situation for me. Obviously, I don't want that to happen, but we're dealing with a guy who is delusional, crazy, and has a god complex.
Yeah.
All bad things.
Yeah, I mean, I think your concerns are legit. I think that he has, I don't think he's that crazy, but it would not surprise me at all. It would not surprise me, and I wouldn't even bet on it, right?
This is the same feeling I had right before January 6th.
Right, which is fair, right? I mean, and I definitely will not poo-poo it and say no way. I think that there should be mitigating circumstances that prevents that, but it also wouldn't surprise me, and I think it's worth taking into consideration. But I also think that part of it is like, look, I think as a world, right, you unify and say, look, by the way, you try to pull something, we'll blow your little island right off.
Right.
It'll go.
You got a guy who doesn't care.
Right. I mean, that's fine. Anyway. I mean, maybe, but you have to at least put it out there. Right. And maybe you do it, maybe you do it through back channels. Like, look, don't pull anything, don't, because this goes bad for you. Signed, everybody else. You hope that that's a deterrent, and if not, then I think you deal with it, and
it's not getting the attention I think it deserves, and neither is the fiasco in the Suez Canal. So literally a mega barge essentially jackknifed in the Suez Canal, and I heard the number like 12% of the goods from Asia passed through that, or maybe it was 12% of goods in the world pass through. Either way, a really big boat getting hung up blocked off a waterway that affects 12% of the...
So if you don't know, the Suez Canal is in like North Africa.
Yep.
And so boats, what they're having to do is go all the way around the African continent down through the through like South Africa and Cape Horn, to kind of get to the other side, which means, I mean, like that's... multiple and, days.
Yes.
When you're
10,000 miles, probably.
It's crazy. So, I mean, this is a serious situation. And, you look at them trying to do it. I mean, I forget the country that's in charge of it.
Sudan?
I'm not sure if it's Sudan or I'm not sure who it is. Geography, I should know better. But, what resources they're throwing at it. Like, there was one bulldozer, like, trying to move dirt to get this giant... I mean, when you see the picture, like, a bulldozer is a relatively big thing. It's bigger, like, with the crane and the hook. Yeah. It's massive, right? And you look at it compared to this giant cargo tanker that's stuck, and you're like, that's not going to be enough.
An ant can't pick up a rubber tree
plant. That's not going to work. And so it's just like somebody, I mean, whether it's us or the UK or like Russia.
It has to be international.
Right. Like everybody got to jump in. Like somebody send, you know, send your drills, send, you know, your engineers and get this resolved. Like you can't just leave it up to this country. Now, if the country in charge, I wish I knew, I probably should have looked it up. If they're denying help, then okay, well, shit. I guess we're kind of stuck with it. But they gotta have more than one bulldozer out there trying to dig this thing out. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, how is that your best plan? Like, oh, hey, we gotta do something. Get Skipper out there with a shovel.
Bob's truck and tow.
Seriously,
stepping in to solve the world trade issue. So the bigger point to me on that though is this highlights what a if you want to influence the world economy and choose a target. The Suez Canal just put its hand in the air and said, "We're a pretty good choice."
Yep. I mean the Panama Canal is another choice too.
Right.
I mean, you want to really screw up things, you know, get that thing jammed up. You know, I think the Panama Canal is probably a little bit better managed, but I mean,
yeah,
still,
Panama is such a
well. I mean, I just
it's international. You know,
yeah. I mean,
it's actually us.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a different scenario. But either way, they got to get that resolved. Just, I mean, it's going to start to, I'm sure it's already impacting, you know, supply chains across the world. And when supply chains across the world are impacted, we learned via COVID that it affects prices.
It affects a lot of things. Down, yeah.
You know, so definitely a concern. Hopefully they can get it resolved and hopefully they get more than one bulldozer out there.
Yeah. so we should wrap it up, but I got to talk about one other thing. And I'm a bad person for doing this, but
you're not, because it's so great.
There was a Romanian news anchor who was giving a news report, and in the middle of a report, a naked woman charges her and throws a brick at her. And I saw the video, and I couldn't help but send it to you at midnight or whatever.
Right.
Please watch this.
You're like,
it's the craziest fucking thing, dude.
It is fucking wild. We got to tweet it out so people can see it. But, oh, my God. So, I had a couple questions. Like, so did she come in, did she come all the way in naked? Or did she come into the studio clothed and then undress this robe? Where did she find the brick? Did she bring that in with her? Did she grab one from inside? And, you know, I'm curious what the toxicology report or, you know, is going to look like. Is this woman, like, on drugs, or does she have a legitimate beef with this news anchor? And if so, I want to know what it's about.
I
need TMZ to get the deets on this.
I'm with you on that. Just because, to me, this looked like angry love triangle shit.
Yes.
And by the way, her throwing accuracy, terrible.
Well, first of all, throwing a brick is hard.
It is.
Like, throwing a brick over a decent distance is hard. So, you know, I mean, I get, like, I don't... it almost sounds like I said she should have a football, but then I'm like,
that defeats a lot of the purpose,
right? But I mean, look,
then the anchor might catch it.
Look, you unexpectedly get hit in the face with a football, it could break your nose, right?
I've
seen
that happen.
You know, yeah, sure. So it's really bizarre. You know, it's Romania.
Romania's trying to say, hey, Russia, hold my vodka.
Right.
We're just as fucked up as you. And this is a solid effort. It's
right.
Not quite as good as dude sawing off a guy's back bumper to fit a car in a parking spot, which we talked about on the show years ago. And I don't know if we could find that again, but it was awesome. But this was awesome craziness.
Yes.
And the only thing I really am upset about is YouTube has this video available. We'll try to tweet it out, but they completely blanked out they pixelated out the naked woman. And that made it that much less fun.
You're not a creep at all.
No, I definitely am a creep, but you thought the same thing. I just said it.
I actually didn't.
Oh, you bullshit.
I did not. Tim,
bullshit.
I swear to God, I didn't. Look, I have no issue admitting my proclivities, so to speak. It didn't come across.
I was bummed out. I was like, I want to know what I want. This so looked love triangle-ish that I wanted to know, like, okay, is this the side piece or is this
Or is she the scorned wife or did they all know? I get TMZ on it. Called Harvey, what's his name?
I don't even know who TMZ. Oh, good. Anyway. All right, brother. We should probably wrap this up. Good talking to you. Good to have you back in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, we also both have one COVID shot in. We can talk about that in the next show. And we should definitely do a show talking about gun controls and gun issues in America with the correct guests. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening. And we are done.